the deer and the antelope play.
Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young in the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I have a well-loved song to sing, which has become an American classic. The Rosary.
The hours I spent with thee, dear heart, are as a string of pearls to me. I count them over every one apart, my rosary, my rosary. Each hour a pearl, each pearl a prayer, to still a heart in absence run. I turn each bead unto the end, and there a cross is found. Oh, memories that bless and burn, oh, barren gain and bitter loss. I kiss each bead and strive at last to learn to kiss the cross.
Victor Young is going to play a composition by Dana Suess that she wrote originally as an instrumental number. The melody proved so popular that words were set to it, and you probably know it as the song, My Silent Love.
Thank you.
Now let's have some fun with the old nursery rhyme, Sing a Song of Sixpence.
Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was opened, the birds began to sing. Wasn't that a pretty dish to set before the king? The king! The king was in his counting hall.
One, two, three, four. Counting out his money. The queen was in the parlor eating. Bread and the maid was in the garden hanging out the clothes. When down came a blackbird and pecked off her nose. Thank you.
before it's home. College men from sea to sea may sing of colors true, but home has better right than we to hoist a symbol due. For sailor men in battle fair since fighting days of old have proved the sailor's right to wear the navy blue and gold. Return, O Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Who are the seven seas? Gone of God's great sun. Let these our colors be till all of time be done. Done, done, done. By seven shore we learn navy's turn torn. Faith, courage, service, true faith, honor over honor over all.
Is a beautiful song which was first composed as an instrumental number. You will know it as Moonlight Madonna. This is John Charles Thomas. Now from music to words again, which is the cue for John Nesbitt to bring us another chapter from his passing parade. John Nesbitt.
the rough old west town of Fort Sumner, New Mexico, 68 years ago, there was a frail-looking boy of 17 who was born as William Bonney. He was only 5'7". He was small-boned. He had a narrow, girlish face and bright blue eyes flecked with red. He smiled readily. He was very good-natured. And he had countless friends. But there was one thing about this girl-faced boy that makes us remember him with a shudder. He was deadly as a rattlesnake. The pride of his life was skill with a revolver, and the joy of his life was to kill men with it. They called him Billy, Billy the Kid. 21 murders at the age of 21. Billy was very proud of that record. It's so nicely balanced, you see. In Fort Sumner at the same time, there was a tall, rangy Irishman named Pat Garrett. He and Billy became engaged to girls who were close friends, and through the girls, they became friends with one another. Pat was 6'4", and when little Billy walked down the street with him, people wanted to laugh, but they didn't dare, and Billy almost had to run to keep up with his huge friend. But Pat Garrett, strangely enough, turned out to be a perfectly honest man. Billy went on his way to get mixed up in a cattle war. As a hired gunman, he liked that job, and it cost 6 more fellow humans their lives. And in 1880, Pat Garrett, the cowhand, was offered a new job, too. Holding up his right hand, he was sworn in as United States Marshal for Lincoln County, New Mexico. And the first thing he did was to sit down and write a letter to his old friend, Billy the Kid. And he sent it to him by an acquaintance. Dear Billy, when I meet you again, I'll bring you into justice. Sorry, Pat. A few weeks later, he received a reply. Dear Pat, when I meet you again, I'll kill you. Sorry, Billy. For 7 months, Pat Garrett trailed Billy the Kid. At last, on July 14, 1881, Garrett received a tip that Billy had gone back to Fort Sumner to visit his girl. With 2 men only, Garrett rode up to the edge of that town and sent one of the deputies, who was unknown there, to see what he could find out about Billy's whereabouts. But the whole town was so frightened of this downy-faced boy with a gun that not a soul would speak. Garrett waited until midnight, when he could move around without being seen and recognized, and then entered the town himself. Riding up to the house of a friend, Pete Maxwell, he left the 2 deputies on guard outside, and he walked in alone. The house was completely dark, but Garrett knew the place well. He felt his way through the shadows of the hall to the bedroom door. It was open. Pete Maxwell was in bed asleep, and Garrett went up to him and touched him softly on the shoulder. It's Pat. Tell me, where is Billy? In the darkness, Pete Maxwell shook his head.
It's worth my life to tell you.
But right across the side yard in the adobe house of Pat Garrett's own brother-in-law, lying comfortably on the bed with his boots off and reading a newspaper, was Billy the Kid. Feeling hungry, he got up. He went to the kitchen for something to eat, and then he remembered that there was a quarter of beef hanging on Pete Maxwell's veranda. Picking up a butcher knife and strapping on his guns, without which he never moved, he started across the yard. And it was so dark that he was almost up to the 2 deputies before he saw them, and when he did, he jumped nervously. And one of the deputies laughed. He didn't know Billy the Kid, and he had no idea that this boy could be a famous outlaw. Never mind, kid. Nobody's gonna hurt you. And so that deputy turned his back on him. And Billy went on up to the veranda and started to cut the beef when he heard voices inside the house. Silently, he moved up closer to the door. In the bedroom, Pat Garrett was sitting in a chair at the head of the bed, trying to persuade Pete Maxwell to tell him where Billy was staying. There was the faintest glimmer of light in the hall. And suddenly, framed in the doorway against that light, Garrett saw the slender, girlish figure of his old friend, Billy the Kid. Pete, said Billy, who's that with you? Pat Garrett, laying his hand on Maxwell's shoulder to keep him quiet, felt the man begin to tremble. Neither said a word. Neither moved. Who is it? Billy cried out again. He waited an instant longer for an answer. His hand shot down to his hip. Pat Garrett's hand moved in the same split second. The room was lighted by the flashes of two shots. There was a clattering sound as Billy's butcher knife, and then his gun dropped to the floor. And then he himself collapsed on top of them, a gun and a knife. And his life, filled with murder and crime, such as few men's have ever been, was completed and ended at the age of just 21 years. Billy, you see, was a little man physically, and it does seem to have been that which frequently drove him to his almost insane deeds. The fear that his small size and girlish face would lead people to think that he was a weakling, and what frightful consequences that curious kind of fear often has. Alexander the Great was a little man, and so, of course, was Napoleon, and the terrible Attila the Hun was no larger than a sixth-grade schoolboy. And all through history, the records of the past are dotted with the doings of little men whose tremendous pride drove them to great accomplishments, good or evil. For in their hearts is burning always the fierce determination to prove to the world that little as they appear, they are as big as the biggest who march the passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. A lively piece written some 200 years ago. It is Joseph Haydn's Gypsy Rondo. Thank you, Vic. From the operetta Blue Paradise, Romany Tom's Farewell to the Clan, Auf Wiedersehen.
Let me hold you close to my heart, brush your tears away, dear, while a fond Auf Wiedersehen. Hear me say, dear, something fills my heart with fear, so I know not why, dear, telling me of Wiedersehen, this time means goodbye, dear.
Calm your dry those tears.
Speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.